The scripture reading for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I have proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as if of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. So prior to what we just heard from the letter to the church in Corinth found in 1 Corinthians, Paul has been dealing with a lot of stuff. He has addressed issues ranging from factions that have formed in the church to matters of sexual immorality. He has given advice about disagreements between church members and about marriage and singleness. He has spent a good deal of time talking about whether or not church members should or should not eat food that has been offered to idols, and how a life of self-discipline is actually part of being free in Christ. He has written about behavior in worship, about spiritual gifts, and about the love of God that should permeate everything among believers. Today's reading is near the very end of this lengthy letter, and after all of this talk about proper behavior, Paul rolls up his sleeves and begins to deal with proper belief, because that is what underpins everything else that he has been writing about. Paul is taking the church in Corinth back to basics because it appears to him that that is just what they need to get them back on the right path. In particular, here we will see the beginning of Paul honing in on one very particular part of the gospel, the resurrection. What we heard here this morning is just the tip of the iceberg of what Paul has to say. But why does Paul place so much emphasis here? Because in the midst of the internal turmoil and the outside pressures that the church is facing, Paul feels that they need to be reminded of the powerful gospel that has brought them all together. No matter what is tearing them apart, this gospel of the resurrection is something that they all agree on And that one point of unity is absolutely critical. I have been reading through the Bible since last May using a wonderful app on my phone. I know there's an app for everything, but there is a wonderful app put together by Tim Mackey and the group at the Bible Project. And at the beginning of each new book that we begin there is a video that summarizes and outlines the book and how it kind of fits into the whole of Scripture and what the points are that are being made. And in their video for the book of 1 Corinthians, they put it this way. They talk about the fact that the resurrection to Paul is indispensable, an indispensable part of the gospel. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our belief is meaningless. The resurrection is victory and a promise. And it is why the Corinthians as a church have a reason to be unified, have a reason to have sexual integrity, have a reason to act in love first, have a reason to do all of the things that Paul is advising them to do. All of the things that Paul was writing to them about are driven by the hope and the truth that is anchored in the gospel of the resurrection. The gospel, the Bible Project team points out, is an announcement about Jesus that opens up a new reality. A new reality that is different from our pre-belief reality. A new reality that impacts every thought, every word, and every deed that comes after we believe. If not, belief is in vain. Paul's belief was not in vain. Notice how the scripture today, we see Paul weaving his story of transformation and action into the story of the gospel. He was persecuting the church. He came to belief, and then he did not waste the grace that was given to him by God as he went out proclaiming the gospel of the resurrection. Has the church in Corinth forgotten this amazing story? No, it's not a story. Have they forgotten this amazing reality in which they have been invited into? One day this week, my morning devotional invited me to read and meditate on a passage from the book of Acts. And here is just a part of that reading from chapter 4. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Listen to how the church was described: of one heart and soul, holding no possessions separately, but everything in common, such that there were no needy people in their midst. And what were they all about? Giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Giving their testimony with power. And God's grace, God's great grace, was upon them all. Now that is a beautiful picture of a community of faith. Now compare that to what we might glean of the church in Corinth that is struggling with unity and selfishness. That church in Corinth that Paul is trying so hard to correct with love and encourage. And compare that to the church today. Now, there are lots and lots of ways that the church in Corinth were doing well, and there are lots and lots of ways that the church today is doing well, but there are ways that the church fails. And when it fails to be like that church that we read about in Acts, it's time to go back to basics. It's time to go back to basics like that church in Corinth was advised to do. It is time to hear the reality of what we are a part of by way of belief in Jesus Christ. Hear it in a new way. The way that we first heard it when we came to believe. Try to get back to that awe, that humility, that gratitude, that love that filled you up when that story of what God did for us in Jesus became more than a story, when it became real. Now, many of us here today have been believers for so long that we don't really remember what that moment was like. Many of us came to believe so young that we might forget that there was a moment like that at all, because faith came so gradual that it just became a part of who we are. But whatever your story is about how you came to faith, I encourage you to go back to basics. Get into the Word of God and hear and see and taste and touch and feel and smell the reality of the life and the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And then figure out how it weaves into your reality. Feel how it is just part of who you are, and how it is transforming you and all that you do, like Paul did as he was encouraging the church in Corinth, and as he still encourages us today. How has Jesus, the risen Savior, appeared to you and transformed your life? How has the Holy Spirit, Counselor and Comforter, empowered you to be a powerful witness to this intertwined reality of Jesus' resurrection and your promised resurrection? How has God's eternal grace rested upon you and given you peace and hope? In the midst of much that would divide, there is a cross and an empty tomb that unifies. Paul knew that that was the indispensable reality which gives meaning and purpose to a life lived in love with other believers. Paul knew that it was an indispensable reality that needs to be revealed to the world through communities of faith. This is our reality. This is our mission. Let us not be distracted from it. No matter what the noise and the chaos is that swirls around us day in and day out, let us be of one heart and one soul, unified by the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, energized, emboldened, and empowered for witness by the Holy Spirit, and all that we do for the transformation of self and the world, for the glory of God, all in His name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us today as we come to your table in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, that you would help us to hear all of these words anew, that you would help us to feel them again, that you would help us to see it again. And as we have the opportunity to come, that we would taste it again, that we would smell it, that it would become so real for us today that it would sweep away everything else, that we would become one with you, one with each other, and one in mission to this world. Fed by your hand, led by your life. Be with us, Lord. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.